Welcome to Juno Afternoon on Wednesday, December 17th, 2014. I'm your host, Scott Burton. On today's show, Nancy DeCherney will highlight the Arts Council's Naughty or Nice wine tasting on Saturday. We'll get the details about the 10th annual Christ Lutheran Live Nativity. We'll find out more about this Friday's Poetry Slam. We'll get an update on Eagle Crest. And folks from the Mendenhall Flying Lions Club will be here to tell us about the Coastal Helicopter's helicopter flight over the decorated houses of Juno. That, National Native News, Writer's Almanac, Bird Note, music, and more right here on a Juno Afternoon.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. In South Dakota, the Rapid City Police Chief has denied a permit for a march to take place at a Lakota basketball tournament this week. Department officials say they received a request for a permit for a police brutality awareness walk through downtown. The event was set to take place this Friday, starting and ending at the Rapid City Civic Center, where the Lakota Nation Invitational is taking place. In a press release, Police Chief Carl Jagaras says the demonstrators planning the event also organized a past protest against the regional hospital. Police say numerous public safety issues arose at that event. The department says it wants to keep the tournament peaceful. Anthony Bordeaux is a member of the Rosebud Sioux Tribe and one of the organizers of the march. He insists the last march was peaceful and that this event would be peaceful as well. Organizers are now assessing their options.
And we're pretty much going to get together and figure out which options we do, because it might be violating our civil rights for them to interfere and deny it. We might have to get the ACLU involved, and that's the route we're willing to take.
The press release states the police chief is happy to meet with the protesters to find an alternative date and location for the event. A tribal consortium in Alaska is applauding President Obama's action to protect Bristol Bay. On Tuesday, Obama made the announcement in a video message.
Under the authority granted to me in Section 12A of the Outer Continental Shelf Lands Act, 43 U.S.C. 1341A, this withdrawal prevents consideration of this area for any oil or gas leasing for purposes of exploration, development, or production.
In the message, Obama talked about what the area represents.
Bristol Bay has supported Native Americans in the Alaska region for centuries. It supports about $2 billion in the commercial fishing industry, supplies America with 40% of its wild-caught seafood. It is a beautiful natural wonder, and it's something that's too precious for us to just be putting out to the highest bidder. Because of the great work that was done by local communities, Native Alaskans, folks who cared about making sure that we preserve this natural wonder for generations to come, we were able to take action that is going to take it off the bidder's block and make sure that it is preserved into the future.
In a statement, the United Tribes of Bristol Bay welcomed the news. Native groups are among those who have fought for years for Bristol Bay's protection. The tribal consortium says it will continue to seek protections for the region's freshwater resources as there are continued threats to salmon from development. The Native American Housing Assistance and Self-Determination Act moves to the 114th Congress. The National American Indian Housing Council says after nearly 2 years of advocating for the bill's passage, Congress was unable to reauthorize the legislation. It provides housing programs to tribes. Native leaders and housing groups say they're exploring strategies to help get it passed next year. The Cherokee Nation in Oklahoma is holding an open house Thursday at its new TAG office in Tulsa. The tribe expanded its car tag service statewide earlier this year. Previously, the plates were only available to Cherokee citizens living inside the tribe's 14-county jurisdiction. In New Mexico, the family of Okeawinge artist Geronima Cruz Montoya says she's recovering after a recent fall. The 99-year-old had surgery at a Santa Fe hospital on her right hip and a broken wrist. Recognition for her paintings include the Lifetime Achievement Award from the Southwestern Association for Indian Arts. She led the art program at Santa Fe Indian School for more than two decades and has served on a number of museum boards. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation. with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
The Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce's Convention and Tourism Department welcomes to Albuquerque the 5th Annual Native American Training Institute, April 12th. Information on services and the NATI event at ahcnm.org.
Science, technology, engineering, and math students thrive at New Mexico Tech. Personalized instruction, rigorous curricula, undergrad research opportunities. New Mexico Tech, where the smart kids go. Info in Winds of Change magazine or visit nmt.edu. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Wednesday, December 17th, 2014. And with me in the studio now is the Juno Arts and Humanities Council's Nancy DeCherney, the executive director right here in the studio. Good to see you. This is not Arts Up today, though.
It's not Arts Up.
You're wearing kind of a different hat, but sort of the same.
It's the same. It's a holiday thing.
Yeah. What's going on?
Well, we have an event coming up on Saturday that we wanted to make sure everybody knew about. It's called Naughty and Nice, Wine and Beer Tasting that Specialty Imports is doing for us. So I know there's lots of things going on Saturday. A lot of downtown business association people have a lot of things going on. But you can start out at the Jack at 5:30 and until 7:30. We'll have Tom Loker and Kari Griven and Alyssa Fisher.
Oh, fun. That's going to sound
Yes, you
good.
Have to decide which one's naughty and which one's nice. I think Kari chose nice, but I don't know. As I said, Specialty Imports is pouring a bunch of wines and beers with sort of naughty names like Naughty Nelly and Kilt Lifter and, Hey Mamba. I don't know. Anyway, Redemption Zin, stuff like that. So it'd be an opportunity to come down and find some nice wines that you can take to holiday dinners and this and that. So, it's $10, 2 for $15. It's at the Jack on Saturday from 5:30 to 7:30. Parker Wilson will be open in case you need to get supper. Alaskan Dames, the Brown Boots Costume Company, Mountainside Wellness, Night Moods, and MK's puppet, giant puppet thing is going to be there. And also, oh, yes, Betsy's going to be there with marimbas are also going to be playing. So it's going to be sort of chaotic and fun.
Like a holiday festival kind of.
A holiday festival thing. I'm going to hope everybody is going to get an elf name generator as they come in. So you anyway, there'll be all sorts of fun games and things to do, so I hope people will come. It is a benefit for the Jack, and you were wondering what that does, actually.
Yeah, like you do more than Arts Up on Thursdays on Juno Afternoon.
Yes, in fact. And the Juno Arts and Humanities Council has been around since 1973. It's probably longest known for the performing arts and concert series that we do. Like our next one coming up is the Intergalactic Nemesis, which is the live action radio drama graphic novel.
One of among the things I like about you, your events, is how diverse they are.
We try to do that. We try to make sure that it's something that somebody else isn't bringing to town necessarily, so that we...
Was your last one Ki Aloha?
Yes, it was. And that one, you know, all of us were sort of like, I don't know about this, but it was phenomenal and very inspirational. So I'm really glad.
So from Poetry Slam to what you just mentioned.
Live action graphic novels, yay. And then after that, let's see, we have contemporary dance and then a Mexican brass band coming, and then Second City comedy. So, yeah, it is a great season, and we're in the middle of planning the next season. So that's one thing that we do is a lot of the performances this Sunday the marimbas will be out at the airport. They're changing the time. They'll be out there around noon. So we do the Music on the Fly programs out at the airports. A lot of free concerts, like all the Food Truck Fridays, all the things, a lot of performance-type stuff. Mm-hmm. We just had our board of directors just had a strategic planning meeting, and they have 6 major goals, and those sort of programming things is one of the 6 goals. The other thing that we do a lot of is arts education. We're really active in helping the schools, training artists to be effective in the schools, We're Kennedy Center partners in education with the school district, which helps get the Artists in the Schools programs into the classrooms. We are any given a Kennedy Center, any given child site, which means that we're trying to make sure that every kid, K through 8, gets the same and equitable and lots of arts education. So we do a lot of education type things. We have a lot of work that we do with other community arts groups, supporting them, providing professional development, helping them keep themselves together, giving them grants. We support the local artists and students with scholarships and grants. In January, we're going to have a series of things called One Night Stands, which are opportunities for artists who've received a grant from us to report out to the community on what they did with their grant funds.
Okay.
And some of it is real interesting. I mean, all of it is real interesting, but it's, you might, they're usually, I think, a Tuesday evening. Just come down and check that out. Probably the biggest thing that we've done and that we do is we opened the Juno Arts and Culture Center, just paid off our loan with the city.
Wow.
Just this month. I'm so excited about that. We
you
had
need
to
have a party for that, too.
Yes, exactly. Celebrate it. We
mortgage
had to,
burning party, I think they call them.
Yeah. We had to take out a loan. You know, the Armory had no women's bathrooms because it was a men's facility. So we had to put in the bathrooms and do a few other things to make it up to speed, and we just paid that off. So we got the Jack open, and it's been so successful that the next big goal that we have is the Willoughby Arts Complex. So
yeah.
The Arts Council does a whole spectrum of sort of community arts support, and we try to be kind of an economic driver in a way. We track how many artists are making money, what we're doing in the economy. We're working a little bit with the Juno Economic Development Council on developing an arts cluster. I just really hope they come up with a new name for that. But anyway, there's lots of stuff that the Arts Council does.
And if somebody wants to support that, all they have to do is come down and drink wine and beer on Saturday night.
That would be all you have to do.
From 5:30 to 7:30.
Yeah, and it's going to be some great beer and wine. So even if you just want to learn about beer and wine, it's a great opportunity.
And if people want more info, they can go to jack.org.
Correct,
sure.
jahc.org.
Or 586 Arts, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Or just come on down to the Jack. There's always something going on. Right now we have a beautiful exhibit by Avery Skaggs in the gallery, for example.
Yeah, so, and you also have merchandise of local artists for sale?
Yes, the Lobby Shop is one of our efforts to support local artists. It has items all made by local regional artists. We cover artists from Skagway to Ketchikan. So
great place to get holiday gifts.
Great. As Madeline Lefebvre used to say, a great place to shop for the hard to shop for.
Well, Nancy DeCherney, it's been fun talking to you
well,
today.
Well, thank you for having me. Hope
You're
to
welcome.
See you on Saturday.
Yeah, are we missing anything? Did we get
I
it all?
I think we got it all, so except
all right.
for your part.
Oh, yeah, wearable arts. We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
Thanks, Nancy.
Okay, bye.
Put some money in the jukebox. Let it play, for my heart is cold with its pain. Take the cork from the bottle of the warm red wine and fill my glass up again. Fill my glass to the brim till it flows o'er the rim like the tears flow in this heart of mine. And while I say so long to the dreams that are gone on account of the wine. for this cold iron bar is no more a prison than mine. I'm a prisoner of rain who will never escape from the chains of the warm red and white. Sparkles and gleams, but I paid for the wine, the warm red wine, with all my hopes and dreams.
You're listening to A Juno Afternoon here on Wednesday, December 17th, 2014, and I have a whole crew of folks with me here from the Christ Lutheran Church. Welcome, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice to have you. So we have Pastor Steve Wall here.
Hello.
Nice to see you, Steve, Pastor Wall. And over on my left, viewers, wherever, we have Layla. Hi, Layla.
Hi.
And Robbie. Hi, Robbie.
Hi.
And August.
Hi.
Welcome to the studio. So you are all sort of participants in this year. Pastor Wall, did you say it's the 10th annual live nativity scene?
Yes, it is our 10th annual.
And for folks that don't know about it, tell us a little bit.
Well, it's an opportunity to really go visit Bethlehem, and that's kind of our theme is come to Bethlehem and see. And we have all those things that you would associate with the live, well, with the nativity story from the Bible, out of Matthew and Luke, the two Gospels that talk about the birth of Jesus. And so we've got the, you'll be greeted by Roman soldiers when you arrive. And from there, you'll see shepherds. And then we have an angel choir that sings. And then as you move through the parking lot, there's also the manger scene and we have wise men. And if you're willing to get out and walk around, if the weather is agreeable to you, if you're dressed for the weather, you can walk through and even come into the church and visit. We have it all decorated like the inside of an inn, and we have refreshments there. We have hot cider and other refreshments.
And this will happen on two different Saturdays, is it? Or?
Well, we've actually already had our first Saturday, which was this past weekend. And we had a great turnout. The nice weather really helped, I think. But we had a great turnout, something like 70 cars that came through in 2 hours. So we feel like that was a wonderful start to the event this year. But we've got this weekend two more nights, Saturday evening from 6 until 8 o'clock. And then Sunday, we try to do it a little bit earlier for the kids. We have it in the afternoon from 4 until 6. We wanted to have it late enough where it's actually dark and you can see the angel choir lit up and that sort of thing.
Okay. And just tell us, if folks don't know where your church is, where are you located?
We are located between the Valley and Auk Bay. So if you're heading on Egan Drive, you pass Safeway and go over the bridge. And we're the first church you come to on the right. A lot of people think of our church as the one across from the DMV or the Troopers. There's a Trooper sign as you're coming up to the church.
Okay. Now, Layla, do you participate in this scene?
Yes.
Can you tell us how you participate?
Well, I'm an angel. I do two different things. The first one is I watch baby Jesus. The second one is I do the angel choir.
Okay. And what do you like about playing those two parts?
Well, I'm both an angel. It isn't really any stress.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And Rob, go ahead.
And one of the things she does with the angel choir, she's not singing in the angel choir, but we invite our visitors to come and sing with the angel choir. And so she helps out with handing out basically lyric sheets so that everybody can sing along or see what songs the angel choir is singing, and they can actually request songs. So we invite people to do that.
All right. Did you want to add something to that, Layla?
Oh, actually, I do sing just only a little bit when I don't have to.
Okay. And Robbie, do you participate in the scene?
No.
You don't? Okay. Maybe someday, huh?
Yeah, you do.
All right, Robbie, think about what you do. We'll come back to you in just a sec. August, do you want to tell us what you do?
I'm a shepherd.
Okay. And what do you like about being a shepherd?
I basically just get to sit around and just talk with the other people who play shepherds. There's usually about 4 or 5 people.
Okay.
Sometimes 6.
And how old are you?
9.
And Layla, how old are you?
I'm 8.
Okay. And Robbie, are you ready to tell us what you do?
I'm a shepherd.
You're a shepherd, too. Okay, and Robbie, how old are you?
7.
Okay. So, Pastor Wall, you said it's been 10 years. How many folks would you say are involved in the scene?
For all 3 nights, I bet we probably have 50 to 60 people that are working together to make it happen.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's definitely a full church effort, the entire congregation working together. But it's worth it to see the people come through. And there's so many that come through. It's become a holiday tradition. And I think the biggest thing for us right now, we've reached a point where we kind of know what we're doing. And, you know, we know what positions we need to fill. And we tweak things a little bit here and there. But the biggest thing is just trying to get that word out there, because there's so many people. You talk to them and they have no idea that it goes on. And so that's our biggest goal right now. Our challenge is to let people know about it so they can come and experience a little bit of Bethlehem on their own and come and see Jesus and remember what Christmas is all about for us as Christians, to see the baby Jesus, God's Son, born in the manger.
Okay, and you can go see that this Saturday from 6 to 8 out at the church, or also Sunday from 4 to 6. Layla has her hand up. What's up?
Oh, I just wanted to say there's no money that I have to pay. All you really have to do is come see us.
All right. Well, that's good to know. And if somebody wants any more information, Pastor Wall, where can they get that?
They can go to the church website. It's christjuno.com. And there's a page on there that'll take you to the information. Or call the church phone number is fine, too. I'll pick up and let you know all about it.
Sounds good. All right, everyone, are we missing anything? Anything else we need to let them know?
I don't think so.
All right, thanks, Layla. Thank you, Robbie. Thank you, August. Pastor Wall, have fun this weekend.
Yep, thanks for having us on. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Thank you.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday, December the 17th, 2014. It's the birthday of John Greenleaf Whittier, born Haverhill, Massachusetts, 1807. Grew up in a Quaker family. He was an active abolitionist, writing pamphlets and poems and essays for the cause. And then, after the Civil War, 1866, he came out with a long poem, Snowbound. He'd written it for his niece, and to his surprise, Snowbound was a huge success. All about a New England family sitting around a fire, stuck in the house for 3 days during a blizzard. When the second morning shone, we looked upon a world unknown, on nothing we could call our own. Around the glistening wonder bent the blue walls of the firmament. No cloud above, no earth below, a universe of sky and snow. 1892, on this date, the Nutcracker Ballet premiered at the Mariinsky Theater in St. Petersburg, Russia. Tchaikovsky wrote the music, the ballet based on a story by E.T.A. Hoffman, The Nutcracker and the Mouse King. It was a huge failure. Critics didn't care for it, neither did the audience. Tchaikovsky died less than a year later, had no idea it would go on to become a classic and perhaps the most popular ballet in the world. It's the birthday of Erskine Caldwell, Moreland, Georgia, 1903, author of Tobacco Road and God's Little Acre. They came out in 1932 and 1933, stories of destitute Southern workers, both of them sexually explicit, full of profanity, banned across the South and extremely popular. And it was on this day in 1903 Orville and Wilbur Wright had their first successful flight in Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. They went there because there were sand dunes that would cushion crash landings and where there were high winds to help get the plane off the ground. But there were a lot of crash landings, and as the Wright brothers left Kitty Hawk on the train going back to Ohio, Wilbur told his brother, "Not within 1,000 years will man ever fly." Here's a poem for today by Patricia Farnioli, Winter Grace. If you have seen the snow under the lamppost piled up like a white beaver hat on the picnic table, or somewhere slowly falling into the brook to be swallowed by water, then you have seen beauty and know it for its transience. And if you have gone out in the snow for only the pleasure of walking, barely protected from the galaxies, the flakes settling on your parka like the dust from just-born stars, the cold waking you as if from long sleeping, then you can understand how, more often than not, truth is found in silence, how the natural world comes to you if you go out to meet it, its icy ditches filled with dead weeds, its vacant birdhouses and dens full of the sleeping. But this is the slowed-down season, held fast by darkness, and if no one comes to keep you company, then keep watch over your own solitude. In that stillness, you will learn with your whole body the significance of cold and the night, which is otherwise always eluding you. Patricia Farnioli's poem Winter Grace from her collection Winter, published by Hobblebush Books and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, committed to discovering great poets and printing their verse. Back issues and subscriptions available at poetryfoundation.org. Engineered by Noah Smith, produced by Joy Biles. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Wednesday, December 17th. It's about 27 minutes after the hour. Scott Burton, your host, and with me now are folks from WooshK, the board of directors. We have Bill Merck here. Welcome, Bill.
Thanks, Scott. Thanks for having us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for coming down. And also Connor Lindrum. Thank you.
Hey, Scott. Thanks a lot for having me.
All right. So this Friday is a poetry slam. Tell us about it.
It's that time of the month again, yes. We're going to have a very special event. It's our December slam. We're having it at Kindred Post this year, or this month. So very excited about the venue. We haven't done an event there. It's going to be pretty small, pretty intimate.
It's going to be fantastic. And while this isn't a sure thing yet, we're probably going to do it in the round and unmiked. So it's going to be like a pretty unique thing for our poetry slams. So like we'll have all the chairs set up. In the round is a theater term for where instead of a stage where it's like you have like all the people standing up on this lifted platform and then all the people sitting over here to the left, like you have all the people sitting in a big circle and then the performers in the middle. And they sort of turn as they perform and talk to everyone. And it's a very small, intimate space, so they don't need to be mic'd because everyone's going to be able to hear them.
Wow, it does sound intimate. And thinking of WooshK in general, you guys are in your fifth year now, right?
That's correct. Yeah, we started October 2010.
Okay, and this is a monthly poetry slam. Mm-hmm.
The third Friday of every month, except for the Grand Slam. It's a little more variable for that, but for the regular monthly events, it's at the third Friday of every month. Mm-hmm.
And some listeners may remember back in October, you had your fourth annual Grand Slam. And so now this is one of the monthly slams that will lead up to the fifth annual. And is it true that winners from these monthly slams get invited to participate in the Grand Slam?
Exactly, yeah. So every month there'll be a new winner, usually. Occasionally there'll be overlapping, but usually it's a new winner every month. And all the winners are invited to participate in the Grand Slam.
If we get to a point in October where we have repetitive winners or some of the winners are out of town, we'll go back to the runners-up and sometimes invite them. It depends on how many people we have, how many winners, that kind of thing. So we mm-hmm. want to make sure that the Grand Slam is a very, very good show for people. So
yeah, and we like to reward those people who like come and like make a big effort and like become a part of the community and perform and put themselves out there in their work. But also, we have no problem with inviting the runners up if we don't have a full roster, because, as I like to say, it's about the poetry, it's not about the points.
Absolutely.
And so, like, the winners, like, it's a reward for them. It's like something that they get for winning, is being part of this big event, but it's not something that we hold on to with a talon-like grip.
Okay. So is there room for more people to sign up for this Friday's Slam?
Yeah, the sign-ups will start at 6, and typically we have 8 slots for the open mic and 8 slots for the competitive portion. So at 6 o'clock, we'll put the pens out and the pad out, and first 8 people who sign up on each side of it will go.
Mm-hmm. And can you describe the difference between the open mic side and the competitive side?
Yeah, absolutely. For the open mic, you can perform whatever you want. Like, you get a time limit, which is, what is the time limit again? It's 5 minutes. And so you get 5 minutes to do whatever you want to perform. So you can sing a song. If you have a dance you want to do, you can do that. If you have poetry that you want to perform, but you don't want to compete in the slam, then you can come and read a poem or two, as long as you stay under the 5 minute time limit. And you can do whatever you want. If you can sew a dress in 5 minutes, then you can come do that for us, and we'll be very impressed.
That would be impressive, yeah. Absolutely.
And then the slam is round-based. So at first, like if we have a full roster, 8 competitors, each person goes up, and the moment they make a sound, like the time limit starts, and they get 3 minutes mm-hmm. to perform. Mm-hmm. And we've got community judges, always different people out of the crowd, and the 4 highest out of the first 8 go on to the next round, then the 2 highest from that go on to the last round.
Now, some people who haven't seen one of your events before, when you hear the word slam, mm-hmm. it sounds like a very competitive environment.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very supportive environment.
This is the friendliest competition you'll ever be a part of, absolutely. It is about the support. It's about the community. It's about giving voice to people who maybe are a little nervous, maybe aren't comfortable doing public speaking, maybe aren't so sure about their writing skills or don't think, you know, they're not quite sure how to feel about their work. So they just put it out there. Yeah, it's slam with, you know, hyphen with quotation marks around it, but it's very competitive, very friendly, very supportive.
Yeah, it's a structure more than anything else. We mm-hmm. borrow the structure from the more competitive circuits, because there's a competitive national circuit of slam poetry that we are not a part of. But we borrow that structure in order to foster and encourage the artistic community of spoken word and of poetry here in town, and that's the real goal.
Okay. And, Bill, I think you answered this a little bit in one of your answers. Connor, why are you on the board? Why do you support Wooshke? What is it about it that resonates with you?
I'm actually not a poet. I'm a prose writer mm-hmm. more than anything. But for me, there's not much of a difference. Like, it's about people who need encouragement because they don't feel like they might have a place if they have this impulse within them to create art. If you have that impulse and just because of like the way your life is, just like because of who your family and friends are, like if you don't feel like there's a venue there, and this isn't a knock, like some people just like don't have like that as an outlet easily accessible to them. If they don't feel like there's a place for that, then they may never develop or give into or indulge in that artistic impulse within them. And the Wooshke.ie creates a wonderful space and opportunity that's really encouraging for anyone of any group to foster that flame within them. And that's why I'm a part of it, because I love helping other people feel good about those impulses that they have, because the impulse to create art is one of the greatest that exists.
Good answer.
Thank you.
Bill, if there's something you would add to that?
No, I don't know that I can, honestly. I think that Connor hit the nail right on the head. One thing I will say, the difference between the competitive portion and the non-competitive portion. In the non-competitive portion, you can use music, you can recite someone else's work, whatever you mm-hmm. perform, right. whatever you choose. In the competitive side, it's nothing but your words, and it has to be your work.
Absolutely.
So it kind of brings it up just a little bit. So, but both are just an absolute joy to be a part of. Just fantastic events. So,
all right. So let's say we have a listener out there right now who's someone who you sort of described. What would you tell them if they're on the fence of whether to come down on Friday night and participate or not?
I would tell them that there's no rush. If they want to just come and watch for this first slam, come and watch. Come talk to us after the show. I'll be the guy talking really loud a lot. And so you'll be able to recognize me at some point. And so you can just come talk to me after the show and be like, hey, I'm thinking about doing it next time. Or if you do want to do a little bit more, just bring one poem or one song and just do the open mic. And there's no elimination, there's no competition, and you only have to do one thing as opposed to if – and this has happened before, where people will come, like, it's their first time, and they've brought three poems, and, like, they're wonderful, and they win, or they get farther than they thought they would. But, like, and they didn't bring enough poems, and so they end up, like, writing poems, like, while other people are going, which is an amazing thing to watch, actually. It's, it's a super fantastic phenomenon. But if you don't want to be a part of that, like, pressured, structured part, like, just get in front of people, get comfortable, just do the open mic.
If you're sitting on the fence, you should come to an event and just feel the warmth in the room, because it is, Scott, you've been there. It's amazing. You'll become a part of the family automatically. I mean, whether you want to or not, you'll just be embraced by the group. So, true story. And I will kind of drop a little hint out there. We do have a little something that we're going to be sharing, that we're going to have up for donation, a chapbook that we're putting together. Mm-hmm. We finally got that from the printer. We'll have that tomorrow. So we'll have those available on Friday.
What kind of book?
It's a chapbook of poems from the poets who competed in the Grand Slam in October.
Okay.
So we did this last year. The poets will be there. They can sign it. You know, they'll be available to talk with anybody who wants to be there and listen and has questions. Again, it's kind of our gift to the community. Just come see us. Check it out.
Sounds good. So that's this Friday. What time again?
Sign-ups are at 6. The show starts at 6:30. That would be the open mic portion. We'll take a break after the open mic, and then we'll start the competitive portion, typically about 7-ish. Mm-hmm. And the event will run till, what, 9, something like that, 9:15.
Yeah. And normally I would just encourage people that, like, you know, if you're going to be a little bit late but you're just coming to watch, it's not a problem. But this is one of the smallest venues we've ever done. So if you want to come, you should probably come, like, about, like, at the right time, because you want to get a seat or at least some standing room. Yeah.
And it's at Kindred Post downtown?
Yep, 145 South Franklin Street.
Right across from the clock, and it will be a full house, I guarantee you.
Yeah.
And no admission, right?
No, absolutely not.
Just pay as you can. You know, honestly, if you want to come and just enjoy the moment, please do.
Yeah, we've got a merch table. If you want to buy some stuff, it all goes to supporting the board and the organization, or if you want to just donate, we are very grateful and we're accepting of it, but it's not an at-the-door thing or anything like that. You just, if you see it and you feel like it, go for it.
All right, Connor Lindrum and Bill Merck, thanks for your time today. We'll see you Friday night at 6 o'clock at Kinder Post.
Thank you, Scott.
See you
then,
Scott. Thanks a lot.
1, 2, 3. Oh, I wish I were a real Alaskan girl. I wish that I could hold my beard. I could wear hip waders in summer. Heels at 10 below, I'd have sexy woolly legs with long and flowing frozen hair. Oh, to be a scow girl in the last frontier, where chicks run the Iditarod and win it. Yeah, I would ranch on my own goose, and I would jerk my own moose, and I'd drive a huge domestic truck and actually haul stuff in it. Little less sugar, little more spice, whole lot of fire and even more ice. From Kotzebue to Ketchikan, from Dead Horse to Attu, Alaskan chicks can teach a city girl like me a thing or two. You up for years to get a chance to hold your hand. I'd find me some big burly bush pilot boy. I would hook and reel him in and fiancé him. But if he ever double-crossed me or tried to do me wrong, I wouldn't hardly hesitate to skin, gut, and fillet him. I'd shoot more than a camera at the animals and such. I'd eat Rudolph for breakfast and Bullwinkle for lunch. Oh, Alaskan girls are fearsome and fearless by design. They kill mosquitoes with a look and mess with trusting tourist minds. They're ruggedly handsome in their way. They're wild and free and meant to be that way. So from Jackalope to Juno, raise a glass to a proud and confident and deserving Alaskan woman, you know. But not that one. And from Beaver to Tatitlick, here's to ladies who understand that their self-image should have nothing whatsoever to do with their shade of lipstick. Oh, which is a stretch, but I had to rhyme with Tatitlick, so. Oh, I wish I were a real Alaskan girl, but when it comes down to it, for most of us, Los Anchorage is gonna have to do it.
Who's to say? Join us for the live recording of Alaska Originals featuring Marion Call. With music once described as acoustic joy jazz, Marion will play a two-part concert including original favorites and a special set of holiday music for people who are tired of holiday music. Marion will be accompanied by Laura Zahasky, and the show starts at 7 p.m. on Thursday, December 18th at 360. Tickets at ktoo.org. And Marion is playing tonight at the Gold Town Nickelodeon Theater. You can get tickets for that at mariancall.com. And like you just heard, she's playing at 360 downstairs tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Tickets are going fast, so go to ktoo.org as soon as you can. And now in the studio with me is Mr. Matt Lillard, the mountain manager. Is that your what?
General manager.
General manager of Eagle Crest. Matt, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I could use some more snow in the mountains, but we're making do with what we have so far and waiting, doing the snow dances, hoping for more.
Yes, we need more.
Yeah, definitely. It's it certainly hasn't been the start that I've been accustomed to the past 3 years, but it looks like temperatures are finally cooling down, which is a great thing to see, and there's definitely some snow in the forecast. I don't think we're looking at any large amounts, but it should start adding up, which is great. But in the meantime, we've had Porcupine open the past 2 weekends, and a lot of people are coming up and enjoying it. You know, definitely if you've got a 3 to 6 year old, it's still a blast to come up to the Porcupine and area and ski off that lift and make laps. And we've got some park features set up for people that are into that. So people are hitting boxes and rails, and overall, people are having a great time with what we have. I think, you know, contrary to you know, the early 2000s, we've got something to ski on, and we're really glad that we took advantage of any cold weather that we did have to make enough snow to open that area, because it's been great. You know, it's the race team's up there doing their thing and you know, doing the training that they can, and we've had a lot of good, you know, first-timer lessons. So if you want to get the good start on the season, you might as well spend your time on Porcupine now, and when the rest of the mountain opens, you'll be ready to go.
That's what I was thinking. For folks that want to learn how to ski, it's the perfect opportunity to do that.
It is. It is. There's no other. The big mountain is not calling your name yet because there's nothing there to go to. So you can stay, hang out in Porcupine area and enjoy that.
Or veteran skiers and snowboarders, skiers who want to practice going backwards.
Yep, backwards.
Or riding switch.
Yep, one ski, you know, working on your edges. There's a lot of stuff you can do, and, you know, it's just a great place to be. Especially, you know, kind of getting out of the rain of downtown and in the valley and coming up to the mountain and at least getting a little bit more of a alpine environment and get into the Christmas spirit.
That's right. You got some snow last night.
We did. We picked up about 1 to 2 inches at the base. And, you know, we had some temperatures that, I mean, we are seeing, the, you know, the same 40s that were down here up at the mountain on Monday and Tuesday. And that was definitely a little depressing. So it's great to see the temperatures dropping and things starting to freeze back up. So, you know, coming into this weekend, we're going to evaluate tomorrow morning with my mountain operations staff and the groomers and see what we can piece back together. But I think we'll be able to get back on the Porcupine lift again this weekend and keep waiting for that snow to come.
Okay, and you have a couple other events coming up, don't you?
Yeah, well, as always, our big Christmas Eve celebration is going to be, obviously, Christmas Eve on the 24th, and that's from 3 to 7 p.m., and that will happen regardless of where the mountain stands. Santa certainly comes and visits. We have a great time. He's traveled down via Muskeg, literally, on Muskeg before, but we've got some snow up there now. So that all kicks off at 3, and the Juneau Libraries, public libraries, will be up doing the Twas the Night Before Christmas, which kicks off at 4:30. We got the Hooter Torchlight Parade, if we can pull it off. That'll be touch and go. Is it 5? And then the Porcupine Torchlight Parade at 5:55, and then Santa will come on down and see us all at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
And the key thing there is, you know, if you wanted to reach out to Santa and you know, make sure that he's looking after you and your family, check us out on SkeetyJuno.com or give us a call up at the mountain at extension 211, and we can get you all set up to chat with Santa and make sure he's got something for your family.
Okay. Well, Matt Lillard, thanks for coming in today, and thanks for the update. And we all need to do a snow dance, right?
That's right. Do whatever it takes. You know, run around, and let's all keep thinking snow.
Thanks for your time, Matt.
Thank you.
You maybe wouldn't think it, but the chicken is an extremely well-connected bird. I'm Mary McCann. This is Bird Note, and this is an exotic red jungle fowl. The red jungle fowl is the ancestor of this, a Rhode Island red rooster, or Araucana, to use its proper title, king of the hill in the chicken world. With each new day, a new opportunity to assert his dominance. From DNA analysis, scientists postulate that chickens were first domesticated from jungle fowl in India some 5,000 years ago. Traders and travelers then carried them far and wide to Asia Minor, Africa, and Europe. Julius Caesar is said to have noted that the Britons kept them for pleasure, but not for the table. The farming of chickens for their meat and eggs developed later, until today, when the chicken is probably the most numerous avian species in the world. You won't find a rooster on the 2014 Bird Note calendar, but you will find a host of other beautiful birds. Find it at birdnote.org. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
And you're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Wednesday, December 17th, 2014. Scott Burton, your host. It's about 47 minutes after the hour. And with me in the studio, we have Neil Atkinson of the Mendenhall Flying Lions Club. Welcome, Neil.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. And Derek Grimes from Coastal Helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Nice to have you down. And you guys partner up for this helicopter flight over the decorated houses of Juno.
Mendenhall Valley.
Over the Mendenhall Valley. Neil, why don't we start with Mendenhall Flying Lions Club. Tell us about the club and what you guys are all about.
Well, Lions, it's a long story, but in keeping it short, we're community service. We do a lot of things, community service in Juneau, Lions around the world. One of our main things is vision, keeping, you know, preventable blindness. And Helen Keller made us Knights of the Blind, asked us to be Knights of the Blind in 1925. So a lot of the things that we do locally, trying to meet the different needs, we do vision screening through with the Juno Lions Club. We also provide glasses for the people who kind of fall through the cracks that don't meet other programs. Everything we do, you know, community service thing, helping with the food bank. We just finished up a project last weekend doing a food drive for the Huna seniors over there, and trying to figure out different needs, but the main thing is on vision, on our vision at problems.
And do you guys have a physical location out there in the valley?
No, we do not.
Okay.
No, we meet on the first and third Wednesdays currently at the Utter Culture, but we don't have a clubhouse per se, no.
Okay. And when did you guys start doing or partnering with Coastal to do this helicopter flight?
We started partnering, I think, in 2003.
I think
we started partnering. But Coastal's been doing this thing for almost 25 years, if not 25 years. I remember I went on this thing a long, long time ago, and I was trying to put the dates back. And I think it's 24, 25 years ago when I first went on it. And over the years, it grew back and forth, and Coastal approached us one time. Maybe I think it's because we're in the Flying Lions, Mendenhall Flying Lions, and said, we'd like, you know, can you guys partner up? So they asked us to come along, and it's been a joyous ride since then.
So 25 years, Derek.
Yeah, well, before my time with the company. But as the story I've been told, you know, we had a family friend who had kind of some vision problems, some tumor issues, things like that, and they just started to get this going so that we could, you know, help out a little bit, get a little bit of charity involvement and everything like that, and it just has snowballed. I mean, we've never seen a reason to stop. So every year it grows a little bit more, a few more people get involved, a few more families come out and see the lights with us, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. And I bet a lot of folks know about what Coastal does in the community, but can you just tell us about all the stuff you do, summer, winter? You guys do a lot.
Sure, yeah. We're the only full-time operating year-round helicopter company in Juneau. Primarily, we do charter work. We work a lot with the, you know, the Alphabet Soup guys, AELNP, ACS, GCI, anybody who needs you know, hilltop support in a lot of cases. We work, obviously, with the mining community and a few other organizations like that. And then during the summertime, we always get involved with the tour season. You know, the cruise ships come in, a million passengers, you can't really say no to it. So we make sure that as many people get to see, you know, the beauty of Alaska as we can. And then, you know, we often try to reach out to the community as well in the form of these charity events or in any other way that we can.
They don't toot their own horn much, but also when there's things going on around town, when there's an emergency out away from town, they're one of the first responders. If they got a copter in the area, they're there to see what they can do to help. So that. We appreciate that part. If that's why we're happy to work with it too.
Well, I'm glad to hear it too. Yeah, I mean, our company was started as essentially a mom and pop company, and it has grown over the years from a single aircraft and a couple of, you know, one pilot and a couple of office people to a 10 aircraft operation that's in and out, you know, 12 months out of the year. So,
Neil, you said that you went on this flight over the lights of the Mendenhall Valley some 15 years ago or something.
20 years ago, yeah.
Wow. What was it? It must have impacted you. You must have really enjoyed it. How would you describe it to our listeners who may have never done this?
Well, first off, anybody that's never been in a helicopter, I mean, you can't, it's eat for $30, you can get in a quick ride on a helicopter, and that is what's awesome, the being able to take off and, you know, you're in one place, you just go vertically into the air, you take off, and then you see the lights that you drive by every day. You see the things you see from the ground level every day, and you see them from the air, and it's just unfortunately, we're not going to have a full moon this time. The best one we've ever had was when we had a full moon. Mm-hmm. The mountains are glistening. Nobody looked at the lights in the valley. Everybody was looking at the mountains and the snow. I mean, it's an awesome experience.
Mm-hmm. And remind me the dates when this takes place, or the date.
We're looking at it here, yeah, just one time a year, and just in 2 days here, Friday night, the 19th. It's going to be 4:30 until 7:30. But honestly, you know, the more people that show up, the more people we get in line, the more people we really try to get up there and going. And there have been years that we've definitely gone past that last call time, you know, just to make sure that everybody who's been really patient and waiting for us gets a chance to get up there and see what you know, Juneau has to offer.
And are you guys out at the airport?
Yep, we are located right next to the airport. That's our main office. But the event is actually organized right there in the airport terminal. So as you face the airport terminal on the right-hand side, the north end of the building, that's where everybody gets lined up, and there's a big waiting space in there. I think we're going to have a surprise visitor come on in for the kids here that day as well to keep them kind of entertained. You know, we have three aircraft running it, you know, just nonstop for this flight, but it does sometimes take a little while just to get everybody, you know, put on through.
And how much is it per person again?
$30.
$30. Mm-hmm. All right.
And gate one. It's at gate one. It's officially gate one at the airport.
All right. and it's first come, first served.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Right.
This Friday from 4:30 till 7:30-ish, weather permitting.
Yeah. Weather permitting. Always weather permitting. Yep.
Yeah. Neil, or Derek, excuse me, is there anything you would add to Neil's description of this flight?
No, I mean, I think, you know, I've been with the company for about 5 years now, and this is definitely one of the highlights every year, just to get, you know, all the kids, everybody, all the locals who maybe don't, you know, come up and come out with us during the summertime for tourism stuff. They get to come out for this flight. They get to come out and see just what the Juneau Valley has to offer, which is pretty awesome.
And proceeds benefit the Mendenhall Flying Lions Club, which in turn benefits Vision and other.
Well, half of it goes through our Lions Club projects, you know, with the vision screenings. Like we're going to Angoon after the first year to do vision screening over there, new vision screening in northern and southeast. The other part of it goes to the Children's Tumor Foundation, which is it's neural. It used to be the Neurofibromatosis Foundation, and it's a tumor, like Derek was saying, that the people that were originally involved with Coastal and doing the thing, their son had neurofibromatosis, one of the different stages, one of the types, I guess would be the best way to say it. And they went with that, but then it's grown, and now, so 50% of the money goes to the Children's Tumor Foundation. And if somebody wants to look up what neurofibromatosis is, and that, you know, look up the children, there's a whole bunch of information on that. And it's making people aware here in town, plus our site projects, are various, not just site projects, but the Lions Club projects in Juneau.
All right. Well, Neil Atkinson, thank you for coming in today. Derek Grimes, thank you so much. Are we missing anything? Anything you want to add, guys?
Just, again, Friday night, starting at 4th, we're going to start flying at 4:30. We'll have people there at 4 o'clock to start taking things, $30 per person, first come, first serve basis. Mm-hmm. And we will, like I said, we'll have a surprise, or a guest will be flying in with us on the first helicopter, and we'll also have some goodies there too. So,
mm-hmm. All right.
Everybody have a good time.
Yeah. Great. Thanks for your time, guys.
Thanks for having us in.
Thanks for tuning in to a Juneau Afternoon. Tomorrow, Thursday, on a Juneau Afternoon, Shona Oosterhout hosts. We'll learn about the Juneau Douglas High School Art Club's Pugmill Party. We'll get a preview of Taffy, Dance Alaska's Winter Wonderland performance. Rena Sims will be here with an update on the St. Vincent de Paul Adopt-a-Family program. And Nancy DeCherney will be back with Arts Up.
This is KTOO Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. We rebroadcast on translators K276 AF in the Mendenhall Valley and Auk Bay, K269 AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creeks, K201 AM in Gustavus, K220 BT in Hoonah, and K210 AS in Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait. In Juneau, KTOO is on GCI Cable, on digital channel 871. We're also online at ktoo.org. Support for national programming on KTOO comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and listeners like you.
And the weather, it's currently 33 degrees at the airport and about 37 downtown at the Federal Building. Tonight, mostly cloudy, isolated rain and snow showers late. Thursday, chance of rain and snow in the morning, then rain and snow likely in the afternoon. Snow accumulation up to 1 inch. Highs around 36. Thursday night, rain and snow likely, snow accumulation to 1 inch. Friday, cloudy, chance of rain, highs around 37. Saturday, rain likely, highs around 38. Stay tuned for All Things Considered.